Greetings, flesh creatures. It is I, Megatron. On behalf of TFYLP, I want to congratulate you for listening to the most refined collective podcast on this miserable little planet Earth. Yes. Here you'll find knowledgeable fans discussing every aspect of Transformers and beyond. Now, enjoy the show while I continue my path to complete conquest of all of you miserable biological entities. Predacons, terrorize! Transformers, defenders of
truth, robots who fight in disguise. Welcome to Ouch My Wallet for September 25th, 2019, part of the TF Talk Network. It's a weekly show where we talk about the latest goodies we've gotten in for Transformers mostly, maybe a few other little things. I'm your host as always, or as usually, not necessarily always, Rob. And with me is Lucas.
Hey.
And Paul.
Hiya.
Hiya. So, it's been kind of a slower week for people. I kind of feel like after all the Hasbro, you know, the San Diego Comic Con, that deluge of stuff, I think it might finally start to be slowing down just a little. Maybe a little bit.
No, it's just a calm before the storm, Rob.
Is that all it is?
If you're a Siege collector, the street date for Siege, the newest wave, I think, is like October 1st. And so all that's going to start hitting next week.
Got it.
Yeah, there is a ton of stuff coming in October. Like, just a smorgasbord. And, you know, Ratchet's coming.
In theory.
It's got to be. They always hit in October. Every year. Because, well, this will... People will not like me when I tell this story, but for TFCon Chicago, I think not the last one, but the one before, Brainstorm hit Walgreens in Chicago the day before. And so me and my buddy Shane, like, just ransacked the city and found all of them. We had like 20. We brought them to TFCon and we were the only ones that had them. So imagine what we did with that. But
I suspect you sold it for money. Just going to go on a limb there.
Reasonable amounts.
Well, I hope the Ratchet does finally hit. Like, I've been slowing down on my, you know, chuggish buying, but I'm still interested in the Ratchet at least. But so is next month, like, Spinister and Ape Face, that wave of stuff supposed to hit?
No, that's like supposed to be either December or January. It's stuff you already forgot about. It's Mirage and Impactor and Barricade.
I forgot about all those for a reason.
Well, yeah, you probably don't care, but a lot of people want Barricade.
Yeah.
A lot of people want Mirage, and the three pack is supposed to hit the other Mirage and Impactor, and it's not Cromar, it's the Power Dasher. They have such weird names, I can't remember them.
Yeah, I can't remember that.
Like Aragorn or something.
Aragorn. Yeah. So I thought they were going to do all Lord of the Rings names.
Yeah.
When they revealed that one.
That'd be cool. All right. Hey Zaylon, joining us in chat. He says New York Comic Con is this weekend as well, so be interesting. Are we supposed to learn about the next wave?
It's next weekend.
The next weekend. Got it.
Yeah. New York Comic Con, we're supposed to learn about, like, Siege Phase 2, whatever that's going to be called, and then the Walmart exclusives are going to be hitting next week too, so they have those, like, cel-shaded Optimus, Megatron, the Blue Streak, and Sound Blaster that are all going to be, should be hitting too.
That's a first I think we've seen from Hasbro officials. So I'm not going to buy them, but I'm interested in how they turn out. Like, is the paint going to be good, or is it going to be like chipped and or blurry, or, you know, outside the lines? It'll be interesting to see how it turns out.
There's some videos and there's some content with them out there because some people have them, but they look neat enough to me.
Yeah.
But let's see them in hand and know for sure.
Yeah, I think the Optimus looked really good. The Megatron, I'm not sure about, like, until I get it in hand, but Optimus looked great.
Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to kick it off this week because I'm the host and I could do things like that.
Woo!
This is for you, Paul. I'm glad you were able to make it to the show. This is an ancillary to collecting, so it's nothing exciting, but I got in some more acrylic risers for my shelves. Got in a set of seven. They packed them with trash bags, which is a weird thing, but I have a lot of like small ones, and then every now and then I need some bigger ones. That way, you know, like especially for like where I have like Omega Supreme or not Omega Supreme, the DX9 version. Like I put these big risers next to it so I can put figures on top and underneath. You know, kind of make up use of my vertical space. Yeah, buddy. Yeah. So this was
okay. So
this is a nice set of seven.
Where did you get yours? And the thing I can tell you about mine, which I get mine from the Container Store. And they're not cheap. Like this is like $10 mm-hmm. or more. But they're really great. But mine look a little shallower than yours. Yours look like it has another inch or two on the bottom.
Well, it may be hard to pick up on the webcam, but this is a set of seven, and each one gets smaller and smaller as it goes
very
down.
Nice.
They're all squarish. I get mine off of eBay, and I bargain hunt on eBay. That set of seven was $30.
Shit. Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's great because yeah. It looks like it's the same plexiglass that has a 90-degree bend.
Now, I've bought I think 4 or 5 rounds of like you know different things from different people on eBay. Some of them arrive broke, and when that happens, you know it's tell eBay, hey, this broke, and usually they just give me a refund because it's not worth me shipping it back, especially if it's from China. But this is actually from a U.S. seller. They also sell some. Like 2-inch risers that are pretty cheap, and I've gotten quite a bit of those, and I've started, you know, sprinkling those around. But so that was fun. That's, you know, again, kind of ancillary to collecting, but you know, part of it.
I think that's important because a lot of people spend a ton of money on their toys, like, and have a bunch of them, and they don't really think about the presentation of it. And yeah, it sucks to spend money on that sort of thing, but like you even said before, you got your shelves, you're like, you didn't really care, but now that you have them up, I mean, it makes a world of difference.
Yeah.
Your personal well-being, really.
It's, to me, it depends on what kind of, like, phase you are in your collecting, as well as a lot with your personality. For me, it was definitely, like, a quantity. I wanted, you know, one of every mold. I wanted to experience every toy. That consumed my budget. I didn't have money for shelves. I didn't have money for any of that. So then as I started, my room got full. And I had to, like, get rid of that habit. And once I got rid of that habit, I started getting rid of a lot of toys, which also fed back into the budget. Plus, I was buying less, which feeds back into the budget, to where I could then spend some money on sprucing up. And I've really enjoyed how it's turned out. I got a stack of glass doors and shelves in my garage that I haven't touched in 2 months. I've been enjoying other things, but I need to get back into it. But it's definitely another part of the hobby. And more than likely, as I keep going on, I probably will just keep reducing and buying less. And just improving what I have, at least the display of what I have, and you know, picking up a few odds and ends or upgrading a few figures. It's a fun part of it that a lot of us don't talk about too much. But
yeah, because it seems like it's lost money. It's like I could get toys instead of shelves, but it's like the shelves last forever. They actually, if you churn your collection a lot, the shelves will be there while you put new things on them.
Yeah.
And I just think it makes you feel better about your collection.
I know
if it looks good.
You know, number one TFLP fan Carrie, her boyfriend's been giving her crap because her collection apparently looks like crap. And he explicitly called out. He's like, look behind Rob. He's like, that's what your collection should look like. You know, and granted, that's like the best area. You know, that's the full glass treatment there. Even though I haven't finished the lights yet, but. all that stuff's coming. It's another way to enjoy the hobby.
Yeah. I mean, I think in general, it makes such a huge difference. And honestly, I think that a well-curated collection like yours, Rob, that it looks nicer than if you had a couple of shelves and you had everything just kind of squeezed in there, crammed in there. Like, I think actually giving them all a, you know, room to breathe just makes a big big difference. But you know, one question I have for you though, like with the way that you have your setup there, like do all of your shelves go across like at the same height? Because I noticed you have Billy's. So like the acrylic risers, like why don't you just you know, instead of using acrylic risers, just have varied shelves and like kind of group your bots by sizes and have more shelves instead of like, does it look better to have fewer shelves, more risers?
No, I think the risers really add a depth to your collection when things in it are at different levels. Like, and that was a webcam. It's not going to pick it up great, but like I have some glass shelves on my G1 where I've worked on my risers a bit. So like right there with Jetfire, is he on camera? Can't tell. Where is it? Where are we at here? It's like backwards when I'm trying to view here. Where's Jetfire? Yeah. So you see Jetfire there? Like the car bots there mm-hmm. are on risers and it kind of like lifts them up and elevates them with it as opposed to like sitting there behind it. But like the Dinobots underneath it, they're not on risers, and that shelf looks a lot less interesting. So I'm going to put risers under them. You know, then over, like over here with like the mini bots, you know, I got them on the stair steps, and a lot of the ones there in the backgrounds are on little risers and stuff. And it really, I feel like as a whole, once I get it done, it really adds a lot more to it. And I mean, I could, you know, just try to find things that all fit the same height and line them up that way, and that honestly probably wouldn't look terrible. But this lets things breathe and. Like, you end up sorting by size if you do that, and I like to kind of sort by line and season and kind of stuff that goes together. And in a line or a season, there's a bunch of different heights, you know, so it kind of naturally leads to a lot of dead vertical space unless you toss in risers.
Gotcha.
And howdy, so. Chicken fried steak from Central Cali. Awesome. We've been out to California for BotCons back when they used to do that tier.
TFCon was... in LA.
Yeah, it was recently out there too. Yeah. The other thing I got pretty unique here is Action Master Elite Windmill. Yeah.
That's a new one to me.
So I'll talk about these a little bit. So most people know what Action Masters were, you know, tail end of G1, you know, what's popular? G.I. Joe. How can we make, you know, Transformers, Me Too, just like with Micromasters, you know, which were, you know, a ripoff of Micro Machines, but for Transformers, at least in this case, Hasbro owned the property. But so they made, you know, the line of Action Masters, right? And they're like, they had backpacks that transformed and stuff. Once the line really started dying out in the U.S., over in Europe, they released the Action Master Elites. And there's four of them, two Autobots and two Decepticons. I actually have the two Autobots, and I know you've heard of the other one, Omega Supreme. I don't have either of the Decepticons, which are Double Punch, which is it's obviously supposed to be Scorponok, just like this is supposed to be Omega Supreme. And the other one is, I just blanked on his name, Turbo Master, who is obviously supposed to be Bruticus, but he's in like hot pink. He's pretty awesome. But all four of these are hard to find. I've actually had... this windmill I got from Megamus many years ago in a trade or something, but he didn't have his weapons. And so, you know, I've been on the hunt for the blades forever. This popped up on a seller from France. It was $60 shipped. And then after he sent it, he's like, hey, shipping ended up being cheaper. And he sent me $15 back. So I got it for $45 shipped, which is freaking awesome. These things are so hard to find. I'm really happy to have it. I mean, granted, I've had the other one for a while. The gimmick doesn't work, but I'm going to transform it live because that's what's special about the Action Whoa. Master Elites. They transform. So you push the arm up. I'm going to turn the head over. Turn this arm over. Then we bend this down and up. Tabs in. You separate that. You just let the leg hang out. Put up his tail fin. His arm slides down a bit and it kind of pegs in there. Adjust that. Put in that, and if this mechanic, let's say, kind of wants to work a little bit, but not really. Now it's a helicopter.
That is wild.
I don't know if that's a helicopter.
It's right? It's an attack helicopter. Look at that big gun.
I mean, it works. It works. It's symmetrical, sure. Sort of.
This is one of the better ones of the four. Okay, I really want the Decepticons, but I haven't seen them other than, like, it's weird. These are this when you get into this, like, oddities of G1, they show up, but they're mint in package for, like, $300, $500, $700. You know, like, loose complete's hard to find. Now, Omega Supreme, even though I didn't just get him, I'm going to show you his transformation because it's terrible. like, you'll see what I mean. You fold down the leg things, then you bend him over. His head just sticks out like that. It doesn't actually go into a direction. You flip out the missiles, and then the cannon he had is really just parts forming, kind of just clips on here. Now it's a tank. That's him transformed. So now, Windmill's looking pretty awesome right now compared to this. And for some reason, Omega Supreme's gimmick, which actually still works on mine, is woo, which is pretty funny though.
Oh, that's, hey, that's pretty dope.
Yeah,
that's, slices that's and dices.
Pinnacle of 80s technology there.
Yeah, but no, that's a. No, I didn't figure anybody else was going to be having a Action Master Windmill as their Ultra My Wallet anytime soon.
No, yeah. No.
Especially for $45, complete shipped from France. That was a hell of a deal. Yeah. I'm very happy about it. I mean, granted, I mean, complete, they usually don't go for much more than $60-$75, but they just still never show up. It's just you have to find them. It's one of those things.
So about those like European Action Masters,
yeah.
I remember looking on like, this is like before my time. Like BotCon time, you know, but I remember looking at like old videos and stuff, and they would show dealers that had these, like, I don't know, like Tracks and Sideswipe and Omega Supreme and stuff, like,
so
Min on Card, and they were like demanding four figure prices, like $1,200-$1,500.
Well, I remember back in the day before, like, you know, collecting Action Masters, like low on the list when you start collecting, you know what I mean? And I remember seeing Tony Prito of Tempting Toys, like at BotCon year after year with these things like sealed for like $1,200. No one ever bought them. Just because you want that much for it doesn't mean you're going to get it. You know what I mean?
Well, I know. It's still, you could put any price tag on something, but mm-hmm. like that stood out to me because it was such an oddity. And like, who really, I'm supposed to hate Action Masters. Why is that so much money? You yeah. know? But
it's just that hard to find.
The nuances of hardcore collecting.
Yeah,
really.
It's one of those like supply and demand. Right. Yeah, if only 10 people want it, but only 3 exist, and they got everything else, and their hobby money's stacking up, you know.
Well, and there's a lot of guys. I mean, I know you know, Rob at TFCon last year, where you brought a certain budget, and you're like, I'm only going to spend it if I can find these certain things. And what was it that you ended
Grandis.
Up getting last year? Yeah,
got it. Grandis from Transformer Land from Matt, I think his name is. And it's a beautiful piece. It's still over there. I wanted to do a video review of it. Like, I actually have it scripted out. And, I mean, it's just pretty much me making fun of how much of a brick it is. But it actually, it interacts with the other things in that line in pretty awesome ways. And that's where the fun is. Like, the Star Convoy, it interacts with that a lot. Like, they have, like, little connectors, and you put the motors on, and they, like, spin around and crap. It's pretty funny. I was really impressed at how much fun it is for, by itself, it's just a brick. But, you know, maybe one day I'll get to it. And a bit about what you were saying there, Paul. So, yeah, so these are the Action Master Elites that were, you know, the four only came out in Europe. But there was also the other set of, I think it was either 4 or 8 Action Masters that were, like, straight G1 guys for the most part. Like, Trax and Sideswipe and, you know, some others that only got released in Europe, and those are also really hard to find. Good luck finding parts. You know, it's again, like, if you see them, most times they're like complete in box, or it's like, here's a yellowed one missing some arm or something, or especially the parts will be missing parts. You know, so it's one of those, no, there's not a lot of demand for it, but they're still so rare to find that, you know, $70-$100 for one complete is, you know, kind of, you know, you're just happy to find it if you're into it. So,
and that's the kind of thing that I know I've heard Rick talk about, where like finding like the extended toy line of Action Masters, he found out all the artwork and stuff, like when he was working there, all the stuff that we maybe would have gotten if they would have continued doing it, but instead they're just like, eh, out of here,
done.
Cool.
Yep. All right, yeah, so
that's a good pickup, man. That's cool.
Yeah, I thought it'd be fun. So who wants to go next? Not all at once. All right, Lucas is.
Oh!
So I got some stuff mint on card myself here. So
it's
this
so
is
odd that they're coming that way.
Yeah. So what is it? Autobot, Giraffe, Noizu, and Frenzy.
Yeah, those are the and the thing Dino is, Tape reissues along with the Frenzy reissue from I guess you got it from Pulse.
Yes, I did. So the thing that's odd about this is so it came to where the cards were attached, right? Like, and I guess was somebody saying, can you buy them individually or just as a pack? It's only as a pack. So
only.
But
like
then
that.
the other thing that's weird, and I don't know if it is it this way for all of them, but like they printed the instructions on the back backwards.
Yeah.
So like. The Frenzy, like, Frenzy is on the back of the Dino Cassettes, and then the Dino Cassettes are on the back of Frenzy.
I think so it's definitely one package, huh?
Yeah, it's to reinforce that it's one thing. It's not, you're not supposed to, you know, cut it down the middle or anything.
Paul,
whatever.
Do you really think it's one thing, or it's a goof? I'm leaning towards it's a goof, and they're just going with it.
I honestly could go either way.
I mean, I'm thinking like Hot Rod in his package backwards. You know what I mean? That type of stuff. It's just like, ah, shit. Oh, well.
Well, but it's not upside down.
Yeah.
If it was upside down, I'd say, oh, that's a fuck up. But like, I think it was somewhat intentional. And also, this was, I don't know if it's rumors or confirmed, but this was supposed to be the HasCon opposite of the Reflector set for HasCon 2019 that didn't happen.
More like hasn't con.
Now, I mean, so I saw this, just one quick story. I saw this at San Diego Comic-Con because I went there with Ryan of Sabertron.com, and they had these on the shelf, on the table, and this is the first time I'd ever seen it. I don't know. And Ryan was trying to tell me that he thought that was supposed to be an anime-accurate Frenzy versus the one that already came out.
I thought it was just a G1 reissue.
Which doesn't make sense to me, because if it was... I don't think it is supposed to be that, because if it was going to be anime-accurate Frenzy, it would be red and black.
Red. Yeah.
But I think they used the blue one, because like the cartoon colors on Rumble were never quite right with the toy. But whatever they did, they didn't actually get that right. The only differences I can find are the stickers are like super vibrant on the Walmart version compared to that one. And they have slightly different tampos, like item number tampos on them.
Oh, well, now you're gonna make me like go. I have it over here. Where I'm trying. I have the Walmart ones over here somewhere.
Yeah, it's obvious difference.
I have my book club one with some add-on set that I don't even remember where I got before that gives him pile drivers.
Oh yeah, those were always cool. I wish they would make official ones of those.
Yeah.
What I wonder is, is this supposed to be part of the Walmart line, or is this a convention exclusive one off thing? I don't know. I don't know where to compartmentalize it in my brain.
Yeah. So here is this is the Walmart Frenzy. You can see that, and I don't know. I don't know if it's going to get picked up on my camera that well, but the colors are definitely different.
Just and the stickers those, or the plastic itself.
The stickers are different. Yeah, so it's hard to tell. Like the plastic looks like it's the same color.
Yeah, there's little white tampos that are like item numbers on the front, and they're different for each one too. If you want to know the difference.
Yeah.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but there's certain people that are all about that kind of stuff. So, anyway.
Yep.
So that was my first item. Do you want me to keep going, or do we want to switch to Paul?
No, keep going.
Okay, keep rolling. we had a Transformers meetup locally this weekend, and so
I'm jealous that you have a community for that. Just interrupting you for a second here, just out in the middle of Tennessee, man. Like we've had a few throughout the years, but they never keep steam. You know, it's like the first one, some people show up, but then you know. Nobody really wants to do it habitually, and then, you know, people are like, oh, I can't make it, it's 30 minutes away. Like, meanwhile, I drive 3 hours to go to the ones in Kentucky sometimes to see everybody. I'm like, y'all need to shut up. 30 minutes, I wish it was 30 minutes.
Well,
but.
You know, and the thing is, like, so I'm trying to think how many people we have in our local Kansas City group. Like, you know, let's say we have 100 people in our local group, right? Like, and for the Facebook page, we pretty much have like a core of like 5 to maybe 10 people that show up. Like, so it's pretty much, you know, our 5 friends that get together.
I mean, that's
every
awesome.
Time.
But the 10 is yeah, awesome. No, that's still perfect. That's about how many show up to a typical Kentucky one.
So, no, it's 100% awesome. And, I mean, I love, like, you know, I don't think that I would be where I'm at in the community today if it wasn't for, you know, the local Transformers group. They kind of sucked me in, like, about 5 years ago at the local Comic-Con. And so, yeah. But, no, it's great. Like, we have a great local
community. Is that how you met Anna as well? Because I know she's local for you.
I so ironically, we actually met her at TFCon Chicago in 2016, I think. And she was actually just moving, and we just happened to run into her, and she was like, "Oh yeah, I'm moving to Overland Park," and you know, we're like, "Oh well, we live there." So, so yeah, we told her about the group and all that. So you know, awesome. Back then, so yeah, so no, it definitely worked out. So. My other item here is so this is that Cyberverse Galaxy Prime. So one of the guys is liquidating his Cyberverse collection, and
you keep saying Cyberverse, you mean Cybertron
or Cybertron? I'm sorry.
Okay, I was like Galaxy Force Prime. Prime to me. You know who?
Yeah,
I
this
have
is
over
the
there.
Galaxy Force Prime. Yep, yep.
Wings are upside down, bro.
Well, you know what? I just got this from the guy, so I've not transformed it. I have not done anything with it. So,
okay.
I apologize, Paul.
That, well, funny thing about that is I think a lot of the product photography had it the way you have it, which is upside down.
Uh-huh.
That is a great toy for what it's
worth.
How
do you flip it the other way?
You probably have to take the backpack off to do it correctly.
It's probably not clearance to do it with it on.
It just looks so much cooler when he's, like, holding the guns and they're beneath him, like they're...
That's the only problem. He doesn't actually hold the guns.
Yeah.
But, he, you know, he puts his arms near them, and you imaginalize... That's a word. Him holding the guns. You imaginalize the handles.
The hybrid style one, the little, like, mini-er version of that, it does have handles there.
I don't think I've seen that.
Uh-huh.
I didn't pay much attention to the hybrid style stuff.
There was only the two. There was the G1 Optimus that came after the Galaxy Force one, and the Galaxy Force one is much less known.
Okay,
but it's just as good of a toy as the giant one, just a little more fragile.
It's one that I feel like, you know, while there's obviously some, you know, that toy's what, 10 years old, 12 years old. I don't know when Cybertron ran. I can't remember.
15, dude. Because I got that when I moved to Chicago.
Okay.
Well,
so, like, you know, obviously technology's changed, styles changed, blah, 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 blah. But it's one that still has such a great aesthetic to it that it looks, it still looks dope on the shelf. That's why I had no interest in the Siege one, because I was like, man, it's like I still like my Cybertron one. It's my Unicron Trilogy shelf is down to just 2 shelves now. You know, I used to have like a full bookcase of it. And, you know, that's one that's, I don't know. I don't have any plans of getting rid of it anytime soon. You know, times change, but it has such a tough look to it. I thought the Galvatron from that line did too. Both of them, they looked good together.
Definitely. Well, and I think, you know, the Armada line, like, I didn't really enjoy that as much, but like this, the Cybertron line, I think is a fantastic line. Like, I really like the gimmick with the keys and all that thing. And it's just a fun line.
It gave us Primus too. Which I was pretty happy with.
There's
it's
a
not
dude
perfect, but for $50, it's great.
There's a dude in the local Chicago group that collects the keys, like all of them. Just as an aside,
floats your boat, I guess.
So is it something like where there? I mean, because there was a key for a certain fate. Like he only collects keys, but not the
even
fate.
The keys that look the same. There's a number stamped on the back, and different releases had different numbers. So, like, when I was recently, like, you know, got rid of a lot of Unicron Trilogy stuff, like I said, I still keep cop a good bit, but, like, you go to TFU.info and TFWiki, it will tell you, you know, this comes with, like, you know, the Cyber Planet key with, you know, ED47 is the technically the correct version of it, you know, and try to find it and match it up. It's specific.
But yeah, so if you look, so what, this is the new leader class, right?
Yeah.
And then this is the older one. So it's, I don't know if they tried to re-release this. I mean, the amount of plastic in this thing, it's just crazy.
It'd be at least $100.
Yeah, the world has changed around those two toys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like the new one because it had the thing I don't like about that toy is the legs need to spread, but it did no ankle tilts. And it is
right. The
toy that has been in need of ankle tilts more than anything. If it had those, that thing would be fucking perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing is like you can tell that this is what a 15-year-old toy, you know, compared to the new one. So, I mean, I mean, honestly, if I were to only have one in my collection, I'd probably just have the new one. But, it was a fun toy and it was a fun pickup. So,
you know, you mentioned Armada and that you didn't really like it. As I've been shrinking down my Unicron Trilogy toys, I find myself oddly nostalgic for the first wave of Armada toys. I mean, like, I've watched that cartoon, but it's more like I sat through it as it was on, you know what I mean? Like, and it was after it already aired that I finally went back and made myself watch them. And hi, Alicia. Thanks for joining. But what are some of the other ones? Like, what's the helicopter in that? It's not Cyclonus, is it? It is? Okay, yeah, Cyclonus and, like, Demolisher. Why My Shoulders Hurt. Guy, I just blanked on his name. Hotshot, is it Hotshot? You know, like I'm nostalgic for that first wave of Armada, and I can't tell you why. I don't know. I think maybe it was just, you know, that's when I was getting back into Transformers to a degree, to a point, you know, and that was also kind of a bit of a return for Transformers as well. Like Unicron Trilogy really kicked it off. Like it brought in a large wave of kids. It was very successful line, you know, for the brand itself, and kind of started a resurgence that ultimately led us to the Bay movies, which, while I hate them, they did amazing things for the brand. There's no denying that. So I don't know. I was just having to think about that.
I didn't get until the Cybertron line. And so that's when I, you know, they came out with classics, you know, the Bay movie was hitting and, you know, the Cybertron stuff. So like, that's kind of where I stepped in. So that's probably why I enjoy that line more than Armada, just because I have zero nostalgia for Armada.
I remember, you know, that was back when each of those lines had their own gimmick. And I know it was a big deal, like after that, when they're like, you know what, Transforming is going to be our gimmick. And now they've went back to gimmicks here and there, you know, in the past 15, 20 years. But you know, like Armada was Minicons. Energon was the little Energon pegs that went everywhere. And then, obviously, Cybertron was the keys. So, you know, it was kind of it's just interesting to see all the changes constant with Transformers. Let's put it that way. I mean, I think it's the only way to keep a brand alive, anywho's. Yeah, so what do you got for us, Paul?
So, I have one more thing.
Yeah.
I decided that, you know, I didn't really like MP44, so I decided instead to get a different option. So,
nice.
So you, this is it. The one that I did it. So I finally broke down. Everyone told me not to do it. This is the Imaginarium Art Legacy of Cybertron series Optimus Prime. So statue.
I just want to clearly say I did not tell you not to get it.
That's true. Well, you didn't. Like all of my local, you know, so Anna and Sean and all that, Christian, were all telling me not to spend my money on something that doesn't transform.
I don't buy that argument these days. I mean, I think it's totally fine to, you know, especially with big characters that you love. I mean, it's all the same. You know, shirts don't transform. You still buy Transformer shirts. You know, like I don't buy that. But my question to you is, do you think you'll still have it in a year?
Well, more than likely, because it's actually a lot harder to get rid of statues than it is to get rid of toys. So, and that's the exact reason why they were like, be careful, because it is like, I mean, you know, there's certain statues and popular lines where they go up in value, but a lot of, you know, statues, just depending on what it is, you know, you may have to take a loss on it. And it's just really expensive to ship this. I mean, this came in like a massive foam box, you know, as well. So
did you, have to assemble it?
Yeah. So the arms like come out, and then this is magnetized and it goes on the base.
Wow.
So that's a different piece, as well. Magnets. You know, the gun. So, but yeah, no, it is a really awesome piece. And this is kind of the style of Transformers that I like better. Like I like the more artistic, you know, kind of, Neo look for Transformers, compared to, you know, just the straight G1 stuff. So, so I'm really digging this, and I have not decided yet what I'm going, if this will be the only one or if I'm going to do more, but we'll see.
Where are you going to put it?
In my display upstairs. Oh. So I have a couple Bestas, and so it takes up, one of the Besta areas. And this is specifically why I got this line. So they have, you know, a lot of the statues are actually like twice the size of this. They're like, so this is about 15 inches, and a lot of the statues are like 30 inches. And so those are actually really hard to fit on, you know, a shelf. So this one actually fits in quite a bit easier to, if you're going to put it into, you know, some type of display. So,
yeah, Paul's looking around there, puts his statues in his windows.
No, I have a bunch of questions for you, but I want to, like, I'm going to rapid fire them. So you'll probably,
right,
will,
okay,
you'll probably around, answer like 3.5 of them. So, all right, so first off, it is smaller than I thought. When I looked, I was like, oh my God, it's one of those big ones. Cause that's all, when you brought it up, that's what I said, is those statues are huge. Cause when I was in Japan, I saw some of the Prime Studio statues, and they're like the size of a small car. It's just crazy. So what?
Right.
There are, when you get into the statues and stuff, there's actually a huge amount of shorts at this point. Like, you know, like,
let's say
500.
Like, this is the MP Grimlock.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, if you get to those statues, it's usually like $400 to $500 and up. And there's probably like, I'd say there's probably like 5 or 6 different, like similar but not the same, Optimus Primes like that. What made you choose that one? Was it specifically the size, or is there a line? And I don't even know that brand, Imaginarium Studio.
Yeah, Imaginarium Art. So they have a line of these statues. So they've already released, they've released 5. There's 2 more on the way right now. So they have 7 total right now. They're planning on doing 12 total. And so, the line in total, like it has, it's kind of hitting like the Seekers, like it has Starscream, it has Megatron, the other 2 Seekers, it has Optimus, it has, Ironhide, Wheeljack, Jazz. So it has a lot of the core G1 guys. And then what it's supposed to be is it's supposed to be a battle scene of those 12. And then it has a massive Devastator that, is supposed to come out as well. So, you know, at this point, it's hard to say, you know, like if all of them will come out or not, just because, you know, you never know, if they decide to change course or something like that, but they've released 7 so far. So the main thing for me is just, the character choices that they've done, the style, and then the particular size is kind of why I chose this line.
So is it movable? Is it customizable at all? Or is that like that? It's that stoic, that static pose, and that's it.
This particular one, it's just this pose. Like, that's it. The Ironhide one, I think, has some different accessories that you can do. But I think most of them in this particular line, like, it's just that this is what you get, like, you know, and so
like even the chest windows don't open.
This one, no.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. I'm not trying to like be like, oh, that's, I'm picking it apart. I'm just curious because like that's something that I kind of draw the line there, not because I wouldn't buy them. It's just, like I said, space and whatnot. I kind of go, I have...
It gives you a reason to not buy it.
Well, yeah, it's like something I at least like shave off the edge of my collecting habits. But like the 3A toys, you know, that's kind of where I feel like that's near that. That's near there, but those are so cool because they have all these different materials and they're totally posable. And I like that. They're like a, they're not quite a statue. They're, but they might as well be. But you can make your, you can pose them how you want, and you can like change it up. But like with that, you can't. And I think that's fine. I think a lot of people just can't get over the fact that they need their toys to do that, and not everyone does.
Yeah,
I think it's cool that you got that. I think like way to go, way to buck the fucking trend.
Well, so the 3A, I do have the 3A Bumblebee as well, the deluxe size one, and that one is really neat as well. Like the weathering on it, and you know the different articulation, how it moves. That kind of the thing is that, I mean, obviously, like, I have a huge Chug collection and all that, but, you know, I kind of really like some of these higher-end stuff just because, you know, the paint work that they have and just the style. And I think that, like, what this can convey, like, when you're just sitting there looking at it, you know, and ultimately, like, for a lot of the stuff that's in my upstairs, like, living room display, like, honestly, like, I'm going to put that stuff in there and I'm not going to touch it that much. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so, like, that's where I kind of started going. I was like, you know what? Like, if I'm going to put something in here, I'm not really going to touch it. Like, why don't I just, like, buy the nicest looking thing and the thing that I think looks the coolest to put up in this display rather than, you know, something that kind of goes halfway. So that was kind of, I was dipping my toe in this and I figured it's like, it's an Optimus Prime, like no matter what, like if I don't get any other statues, like it can stand on its own. Or if I decide that I really like it and all that, then I can, you know, get some other ones as well. So, we'll see. I decided that.
You know, obviously I'm not in the statues. I'm not really interested in them, but so, you know, my opinion, you know, obviously doesn't overly matter. I mean, it's your collection. It doesn't matter at all. But I feel that, especially if you're just going to kind of like, you know, your collection isn't statues, I think something like that works best as the one piece you have. You know, like something like you put in the center as like, here's my badass Optimus Prime statue. And then around it you have, you know, whatever else you have around it. Instead of like, now I'm going to buy all the statues and put them all in there, I think it'll end up getting lost. As I've been reducing my collection, less is more. Like, you know, we all say it's super true. And so, like, the more I can thin down a shelf, the better it looks. Even though, yeah, it's like, oh, I don't have everything that I used to have, it still looks better. Like, I find it more appealing, you know, and I know what's on there. So that'd be my two cents.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Transformers as a name, oh, they have to transform because that's the name of the brand. Well, yeah, that's true, but we also have all these characters that are awesome and this whole lore that's awesome. You know, Batman doesn't transform, and they sell statues of Batman doing everything under the sun, and those people are super happy with it. We can, if that's how you want to enjoy this franchise, that's you can do that. It's totally, you're totally able to do that. It doesn't, the transformation sometimes makes the whole thing suffer. You know, like the toy is the third piece of the puzzle, and it doesn't always, you know, it something gets sacrificed. You're not sacrificing anything there. You don't need a semi-truck statue. I mean, there's no such thing as a vehicle mode statue like that. It's always the robot, the character that exists in the franchise.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, but yeah, no, and again, like, I mean, for me, I'm always going to have toys and all that. I just wanted to have something that was nice. Again, since I'm not in, you know, I got rid of all my masterpiece and all that, I said, oh, why not, you know, get a statue too. So.
Yeah, you trade it up.
Trade it up.
All right, Paul.
So that's it.
Well, that was a surprise. That was awesome. I was not expecting that. Okay, so yeah, I probably look like I've been really like disinterested or something, but it's because I've been working on this thing that I can now show because I was able to find a I went on a toy run right before this episode because my wife's out of town and tomorrow's my birthday, so I'm just like doing whatever the hell.
Why does
I
everybody
want.
Have their birthdays like the past 2 weeks?
Because everyone
Peter
had
and Jack and now you. There was somebody else, wasn't there?
Because in the late 70s, everyone had sex on New Year's. I don't know. That's why. Well, so I found a Thundercracker in the wild, a Siege
He's
Thundercracker.
Missing a few parts.
Well, yeah, because I'm just cannibalizing this toy. So I bought this, but I'm making this. And don't all jump
off that
jump
one
up at
page
once.
From that miscolor on the UK annual.
Yeah, which I've never heard of before until the other day. And I was like, oh my God, I think you can actually make this thing. So this is Grimscream. Essentially, and he's got Megatron's cannon, and he has to have black Skywarp wings. So I need to cannibalize a Skywarp, and then I have it. And it's coming together. It looks really cool. And when it's finally done, I'll post it because I do a double take. I'm like, that's Grimlock. And I'm like, wait, no, it's a Seeker. And I love those kind of weird things where like you kind of forget how unique the color patterns are for some of these characters. And when you like transpose them onto someone else, it's like, it like messes with your mind. And so when I saw that picture that it was Thew that actually posted it to Twitter. And, I just was shocked and I'm like, I'm doing this. So I'm trying to do it as quickly as possible so I can be like, look, I did it. So, I'm very close now. And, yeah, that's kind of cool. But also,
you know, wait,
just
real quick,
on that,
before we move off that, yeah, you mentioned that the colors transpose, how it kind of messes with you. That was the basis for a lot of Shattered Glass, you know, the Fun Pup fiction. But I never really got that from really anything they did. Like, I never really felt that, like, oh man, that looks Starscream and Grimlock's colors. Like, I never felt that pull for that, like. But that, when you held it up, that was completely different. I felt that. So that's, I wonder what they missed. And they did a lot of Shattered Glass figures, too.
Well, they didn't stick to a theme. They did whatever the hell they wanted. Like, why was Jazz still white? You know, like,
because they wanted to give us a classics Jazz. But yeah, it was all backed into reasons like that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they used it as an excuse to do whatever they felt like at the given time, you know.
Well, I mean, like,
Whoever was making the decisions wasn't making all good ones.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, some of them were character swaps. Like, Starscream was supposed to be in Jetfire colors, you know, and Cyclonus was in Hot Rod colors. And, you know, there were examples like that, but I never felt like, oh, that looks like Hot Rod. That it never, I don't know, it just felt like a red Cyclonus.
I did like the Cyclonus because he had the spoiler. That was what kind of worked for him.
I guess with the wings, yeah. I mean, I have it over on the shelf, but...
Yeah, I'm finding that it's just kind of cool how some of this comes together. Like, and I'm now that I have so many parts to choose from, like, I just decided just now to, like, make... Thundercracker has a black piece here, and instead of the dark gray, I just swapped it out for the black. And, I mean, this is kind of supposed to be, like, Grimlock's, you know, dinosaur head. Yeah. So I put the yellow thing in there so it kind of represents his neck. You know, you get to take some liberties. I like part swapping customs way more than anything you got to paint. Like, because I think it's just fun to be able to just easily take it apart and put it together and you got a whole new toy. But what am I going to do with all the leftover parts? I'm thinking I'll just make other random color Seekers and just throw them on eBay for 99 cents and see if anyone buys them so I can get my money back. It'd be great. Okay, so follow that. Follow that project on Twitter at Collecticon if you wish. So I picked this up at Walgreens, which I'm sure you guys are like, that's stupid. But this is Authentic Grimlock, which is the small one, which was it's been hard to find. It was only available overseas and stuff, but now it's showing up at Walgreens. So check your Walgreens if you're a Grimlock. Oh yeah, check it out. See right there?
Which
Pretty
is which?
Close.
I can't tell the difference.
So Paul, now that you have all the Starscreams, are you like, well, I got to collect all the Grimlocks now, huh?
Oh, I collect Grimlock too.
Oh, I didn't realize. There you go.
I collect a lot of characters actually, but I don't collect them to the extent of Starscream. So yeah, it's a dangerous rabbit hole. If you want me to actually list it out for you sometime, what I collect, it'll make your head spin. So
it's like the exact opposite of Anna's one per character rule.
Pretty much. But I basically, if I don't collect the character, I don't have it. So I don't.
Yeah.
With that. So one thing I actually got that is sort of cool is I finally was able to open one of these.
Is that the Studio Series Jetwing Prime?
Yeah, and you know, he comes with all these accessories that turn into the. I thought this became the wings, so I was a little surprised. They combined to become the trailer.
Okay.
So, you know, he's still the Voyager toy, and I'm pretty sure the Shockwave that's coming is going to be the same deal, where it's like a Voyager sized toy, but they throw in that other shit to put it to the price point.
Yeah.
The new Hasbro MO.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Sergio's trying to tell me that it's a remold of ROTF Megatron that is makes Shockwave, and he may be right. I won't know till I get it pretty soon. And so he does have a remolded abs. You know, he's got the Dark of the Moon abs. And I thought there was something else notable here, but you know, that's pretty much it.
What's the quality of the figure like the QC? On yours, at least.
He's now that I haven't actually done much with him since yesterday when I opened him, but it feels pretty tight. I mean, I've heard a lot of. I didn't want this Optimus Prime when they first showed it. I was like, "Why are you doing a new version of this?" But now I see they made a really versatile mold that could be all three of the movie Optimuses that we never got. We really never got this backpack.
I mean, I know we got the one that had the trailer because I had it at one point, but I don't remember what the trailer did, to be honest.
There was a trailer that did nothing, and that was on the deluxe one. And then there was that crazy Ultimate Optimus.
That's the one I had.
Became the mech suit or something.
Okay. Yeah. I can't remember.
Based on, like, previs or something. But this is, like, the spitting image of what came out of the film. And there was a... I think Fans Want It made some upgrade kits that kind of represented this, and they were awesome. And they went on the leader mold, and they're huge. They're just like the wings are just enormous. So it's nice to actually have, if you're into the movie stuff, it's nice to have a representation that's screen accurate. And since something you said earlier about like Cyberverse and that whole Armada, you know, the gimmick lines,
yeah.
You know, the Studio Series is actually just. Their gimmick is screen accuracy, I'd say, and just transformations that are legit. So they're pretty much like raw Transformers, how we want them.
I mean, yeah, it's definitely like a pure Transformer line. I think it's funny, like, when they drop the ball in the screen accuracy, it really shows in that line, which they have done. You know, and they have some that they're just, here's a repaint in the line because, you know, we need to pad it, whatever. You know, I get some of that. But, yeah, a lot of the stuff, they're taking the time to, you know, to try to attempt to do it right now that, you know, they're not working off of freaking pre-production images and stuff. You know, and it really shows for when they can nail it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to try to put together Devastator because I collect Devastator. And as ridiculous as that thing will be, like, I still find...
I'm looking forward to it.
I still find the things that I find notable about the movies still are... I don't know. I think they're worth celebrating or remembering.
I mean,
so
you don't
remember the bad crud.
I mean, honestly, I felt Devastator was a huge letdown in the movie. But I don't know. The toys sound cool. I like toys that combine, and they have weird ass alien robot modes, which I dig. I always found it kind of odd that every Transformer, they are alien robots in their natural form, is very humanoid. You know, and I get that. That helps us like empathize and. Anthropomorphize with them, but sometimes I was like, man, there should be some weird stuff, so I like having some weird stuff in there.
Yeah, like Demolisher was crazy, and the one I'm really looking forward to is Overload, the one that like never was shown on film except in vehicle mode. Like I just want to see. Yeah, we have the Legend version, but there's like one piece of previs art, so I really want to see how that turns out, and that's the one I think they're waiting till the end. Like that's gonna be the final piece of it.
Got it.
So, I got one more thing to talk about, and it's not so much Transformer related, and it's a little self-serving. So I hope you don't if you want to, if it gets boring, just cut my ass off or tell me we're done. So the reason there was no, the reason there was no TF Talk Weekly is because I was really busy this weekend. I had I conducted a toy event. I hosted a toy event here in Chicago, and you may have heard me talk about this guy before, but his name is, his artist name, his persona is called the Suck Lord, and he makes like bootleg action figures and has been doing it since like 2010, so like, you know, about 10 years, even before that, I think, really.
And there's
when
a,
I found out about him about 2010, 2011.
Like, for anybody that's curious about him, there's a video out there, I'm sure it's on YouTube, it's like a 2 to 5 minute video, if I'm remembering correctly, that's talking just about Suck Lord. It's like a little small documentary piece about him and him making his toy, or maybe it was just bootleg toys in general and it had him in it. I can't remember.
There's lots out there because I made a playlist for the after party and it played for 6 hours. And I just grabbed every video I could find that wasn't 10 minutes long and put it up there. And they projected it on a screen.
Transformer fans are most likely to know him because you might have seen like just the image go around for gay Energon before. And it looks like some male stripper with like, he's all pink with a robot head or something. And like there's, you may have seen like the image that has like 6 or 12 of them, like all in a row, like that he did of all of these. It's kind of, I would always kind of picture it as kind of like art house type stuff. I mean, it's obviously funny and it's bootleg and it's silly and it's goofy. And it's expensive because it's all handmade. You know, it's not like he makes 2000 of these. He makes like 10, I'd assume, or whatever.
Yeah, not very many. I actually have almost all of his Transformer pieces. And the only reason is I had seen them, like you said, like, you know, floating around the internet here and there. The thing that I noticed first was the Occupy Cybertron thing, which came up around Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah.
And it was like Starscream in a business suit and Shockwave in a business suit. And Megatron was like the kingpin of this, of business, you know, and the Autobots were like supposed to be throwing like Banksy napalm at them, and they were, it was they were the 1%, and it was like they had all the Energon, and so it was like rooted in social commentary, but it was also like really silly. And one of my friends ended up buying one of those toys, and he's like, "Look what I got!" And I was like, "Whoa, you actually got one of those? Like, I thought, I didn't know you could actually buy those." And it kind of, once I saw someone else get it, I suddenly was like, oh, well, maybe I should try to get it, because they were Starscreams. And I'm like, well, it's not official. I hate third-party toys. This is different. Like, you call it an art house. That's exactly what I call it. This is an art house piece. It's like a piece of artwork, but it is, there's enough of them produced where it's collectible. You know, he makes, like, small batches, 30. So anyways, long story short, I brought him to Chicago because I was just like, come on, come on down. Let's do an event. I want to kind of meet you maybe and see what we can happen. And we put together this event, and he made a toy like based around Chicago. And this is it. It's not Transformer related at all. So this is just kind of on the tier of WTF is going on. But this is apparently, like, he calls himself the Suck Lord, and he makes a variety. It started with him making figures of himself with this Boba Fett mask. And that kind of like created the persona that his brand is built around. And so this is like the Chicago gangster version of the Suck Lord. And so the back has like other characters that will never be made, but there's Greedo. They all have gangster hats on, and they're all like famous, you know, pop culture icons and stuff. And it was pretty cool. It was tough to get people out because this is a very niche thing. And he's never been to Chicago, and it's like, I'll get all the bootleg toy makers in Chicago will come out to this. Well, guess what? There's no bootleg toy maker like Facebook group. You have to. It was hard to promote, but we had quite a few people out here. It was successful.
Is he a Transformers fan?
Oh yeah, we talked a lot about it. He's mostly known for his Star Wars stuff, like the Boba Fett mask, and he made something called the gay stormtrooper, the gay empire is what it's called, like a pink stormtrooper. It's like his most famous piece. Like, if anyone knows who he is, that's what they know usually, is that piece. But I was able to, so since I put on the event, I was able to get most of the swag, and nice. You know, it's kind of fun. It's personal to me now because it was my thing. And it was a ton of fun, and I'm really glad he came out and he had a good time, and you know, we all got along, and hopefully we can do something like that again, maybe like in another city or maybe back here again.
So. Cool. Well, we've been going That's awesome. About an hour here, so I think it's about time to wrap it. Just want to one last quick little tidbit. Windmill here, of the four I mentioned, he's actually a completely unique mold, like new character, new design. Because like the other three are Omega Supreme, Scorponok, and Bruticus. So it's interesting that, you know, they made one that's just an actual new character, not based off anything. He's the only one from the Elites. But it's been an eclectic show, so yeah. Action Master Elites,
yeah,
we got
it has.
Statue, and then we got a Kitbash thing you're doing, as well as a Sucklord exclusive. So, I mean, this has been the most varied the show has ever been. I don't know that we might get ones as varied. I don't know that we can get more varied, you know, at least while trying to stay on theme.
Yep.
All right. But yeah. So if you enjoy us and love what we do, check out our Patreon at, you know, patreon.com/TFYLP. There's all kinds of tiers. You can check that out. We have a variety of shows, although this week has been a little sparse just due to real life commitments for people. But generally speaking, you know, Monday we have a pre-recorded show put on by Mr. Starscream here with us, TF Weekly. You know, we've done a pilot episode and two episodes, I think. Is that right? Or one?
Yeah, we've done, well, we've done a pilot and one.
Yeah, pilot and episode one. Yeah. But that'll be back next Monday, you know, barring unforeseen circumstances. And then, of course, Microcasters on Tuesday at 9 Central. Out to my wallet here at 8 Central. Rick's pre-recorded show, Cut the Tape, we try to air on Fridays or put that up on Fridays. And then, of course, our main TFYLP show, our bread and butter, you know, talking about more timeless topics that are, you know, less point-in-time stuff. We talk about that on Sundays at 11 a.m. Central. So we're all over the place. We're on Facebook and podcast downloads. And if there's somewhere you want to see us and we're not, let us know, and we'll make it happen. But unless you
send us feedback,
please,
either via email or whatever. But we have that email address, right? podcast@tfylp.com.
Yeah.
That we check religiously, right?
Yeah. Now you're going to make me actually have to check that.
I totally knew it existed.
I want to read emails on the air. That's how you really get the interaction.
You suck. We know.
Well, maybe we also need to set up like a phone number, like a toll-free hotline for them to report to.
1-800-TFYLP.
Dude, yeah, let's set up a Google Voice. That would be amazing.
All right. All right.
God, I don't even want to know. We get Peter calling in like every week.
All right. Well, that's it for us. Make sure to check us out. We're around, and we love engaging with people. And that'll be it for us tonight, so see you later.
Greetings, flesh creatures. It is I, Megatron. On behalf of TFYLP, I want to congratulate you for listening to the most refined collective podcast on this miserable little planet Earth. Yes. Here you'll find knowledgeable fans discussing every aspect of Transformers and beyond. Now, enjoy the show while I continue my path to complete conquest of all of you miserable biological entities. Predacons, terrorize! Transformers, defend